You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I am Lisa Wysocki. I'm in Ashland City, Tennessee.
And I'm Ashley Winch in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, May 14th, episode 3691, brought to you by Stateline Tech. Good morning, Horse World!
Hello, Horse World! It's Wednesday, the day you start daydreaming of a weekend with your horses. We'll help you get there with more silly horse talk on Horses in the Morning.
So, as you guys can tell, we are neither Jamie or Glenn.
We're the B team.
That's right. I mean, I think we're at least on B plus.
There you go.
B plus team.
B plus team.
So, Jamie is actually out in California for Monty's birthday. Monty Roberts turned 90 today, if you can believe
it. Oh, that's awesome.
And he's still out there horsing around. I talked to Debbie just last week. They were in Argentina. I mean, I could only hope that I'm that spry when I'm 90.
Oh, for sure.
And Glenn, unfortunately, is out with pneumonia. We are so sorry he's not feeling well, but don't worry. He went to the doctor yesterday. He's got the good drugs. And so I'm sure by Monday he will be feeling close to himself.
Yes, yes. And you know, what's really sad is Glenn was going to the American Horse Publications Conference, which I am leaving for later today. And everybody there is really sad to miss seeing him.
Well, so. And I know he had this evil plan of everybody leaving the award ceremony early to get steaks.
Yes, I know.
And like,
it's not going to happen today or this week.
I think that's probably why he's the most sad. Is that he's going to miss out on a big Texas steak, but secondly, seeing all of his friends, you know.
I told him that next year we'll have to eat two steaks.
Oh, geez. I bet he's going to be so excited.
Yeah.
He won't miss next year, you guys. Just watch.
Yeah.
Now, Lisa, you know, once Glenn was like, okay, well, you guys are going to have the show, I was always so excited. I'm always so happy to hang out with you. But I have to know, you got to fill us in. What's the latest with our girl, Kat Enright?
Oh, wow. Well, so, you know, we're going to film. We're doing the movie. And it's so exciting for me just to be part of it. The production company is really, you know, taking some of my, at least my horse-related comments and notes, you know, to heart. So that's good. And it's just been interesting to me to learn about the whole process. And so we're in script revisions right now. And so, you know, they send out the script and then all the producers kind of get in and, you know, send in their notes and all of that. And so I had 13 pages of horse notes.
Stop. To send back.
I know. I felt bad. But it was like, here's the issue, but here's the easy fix. So I was trying to be really positive about it.
And, of course and for, you were, Lisa.
Well, you know, and to the scriptwriter's credit, they did an awesome, awesome job, but they're not horse people.
So you know I need an example here.
Yeah, so for one thing, so they had Kat, every time Kat went into the barn, she took off her jacket and put on her barn jacket. And I'm like, no, we horse girls wear our manure-encrusted, hay-covered
everywhere.
Jackets everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yes, we go to the bank, people ask if we're homeless, you know. I mean,
you know. Now, I have to ask, have you told the costume designers that there needs to be hay in the bra? To make
it. Well, we haven't gotten that far. Yes, we're going there. Yeah, we're going to go there, you know? And I'm trying to make it as realistic as possible, you know? And so one of the other things was we had talked very early on, no horse whinnies, no fake horse whinnies. It just doesn't happen, you know? And so even we did a segment here on Horses in the Morning with the producers when we were doing location
scouting. Oh, that's right. Yes.
And we were talking, no horse whinnies. And so, to be fair, the script writers were not in on that, but we had several conversations about that. So anyway, we get the script back, And there are 8 fake horse whinnies in the script. And I'm like, no, no, no. And so every time I'm like, no, this doesn't happen. You know, if this was happening, the horse would be in distress and all the viewers would be wondering what the horse is distressed about, you know. So we get the revisions back and there's 2 script writers, a male and a female. They have changed the whinnies to nays.
Stop it right now.
I'm like,
do they think we're silly?
I'm like, okay. So now in my script notes, no horse sounds. No horse sounds.
Unless
none.
It's going to be farting or yes. stomping.
Yes. And we have the most wonderful director. His name is Brad, and he's absolutely awesome. And he called me and he said, Lisa, he said, don't worry. He said, I've got you on this. He said, I'm the one doing the directing. I'm overseeing the editing, and there's not going to be any fake horse whinnies. I'm like, okay.
You know, I feel like you should get some kind of documentarian award, because this is going to be the first film that is actually capturing real life horse people and horses.
We hope so.
I mean, we're not going to have Frisians. There's not going to be the singular neigh track that apparently there's only one horse that's ever been recorded.
Yes.
And that's the only one that gets used.
Yes.
I mean, this could be taught in film school, Lisa. I'm just looking long term for you. How can we continue to monetize this?
There you go. There you go. You know, there was another scene where a neighbor who's also a riding student walked into the barn, saddled up a yearling, and walked out.
Oh.
And I'm like, no.
Oh, sure. You know, just normal horse girl stuff.
Yes. And I could see what they were trying to do with the scene. And it is difficult sometimes to take the written word and visualize
it.
Oh,
I can't imagine.
A visual thing. Mm-hmm. And I could see where they're going with that. And I'm like, you know, okay, we can do the same thing. Cat's just going to go into the stall and lead the yearling out to the round pen. And we can get, they were having a conversation.
Yeah.
Like, we can do it that way, you know.
But we don't need to be putting saddles on yearlings.
with strangers.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's, you know, there's a lot of that in the 13 pages, but
13.
You know,
I cannot, that is wild.
So, but it was, you know, a lot of it was just really easy fixes, You know, he, one of the script writers had the vet coming, and Sally Blue, the main horse character, was off, and they were taking her temperature and they were thinking she was colicking. So while Kat's waiting for the vet, she saddled her up and rode across the pasture.
Yeah. Cause that's definitely what you do with a colicking horse. Like,
yeah. So I'm like, no.
Is this why we don't have like horse movies? I wonder.
Yes. Or why we can't watch them all the way through.
Oh, that's I mean, I know in our auditor room, there's been so many discussions about terrible horse movies.
Yeah. And I'm just hoping this, you know, I'm just so excited because the director has some really good ideas that he's been able to share just to capture some things visually. And there are some changes, you know, from the book to the film.
Naturally, sure.
You know, there just are. And horse stuff aside, the script writers have done an amazing job. They really have. I'm really, really excited.
Well, you know, imagine it was you and me and the shoes on the other foot and we're writing about something like, I don't know, water polo.
Exactly. We know nothing. We know nothing.
And hot guys in the pool. That's all I know.
Yeah. For sure. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know? Let's keep them there, but anyway, that's kind of my life these days, is I'm just, you know, going through the script revisions and coordinated with the producers and that type of thing.
That is just so exciting. Well, let's go ahead and get to our daily whinnies.
Happy birthday to you. Point in time where I get to impersonate Glenn and mispronounce everybody's name. So we have daily whinny birthdays today to Jamie Harding, Alicia Kay, Bethany Jo McNett, Andrew Dixon, Angela Bailey, Electra Weeks, Catherine Cook, and Heather Brower. Happy birthday, all.
And a quick note to our auditor, Misty, we are thinking about you. Hang in there. And for my daily whinny, I am going to give a shout out to my friend also named Ashley, which, like, I've never met an Ashley I didn't like. I don't know about you, Lisa, if you've met other Lisas and you just kind of, you know, vibe. But I've only met good Ashleys.
I will say this. Some of the Lisas I've met have been very snarky.
Oh.
But I've never met an Ashley I didn't like.
Oh.
Yeah. That's true.
We're a good group.
Yes, I can. So, yes, absolutely.
My husband works with this other Ashley, and she's a nuclear engineer, so obviously way smarter than I am. And she has four horses here in Albuquerque, just on the other side of the mountain. And we've started riding together about once a month. She lets me take out her gray Mustang, Freya. And this last Friday, I took the day off. That's right. At Horse Radio Network, you can take the day off to go ride. It's one of my very many perks. I'm being a little facetious there. It's maybe like the only perk. And we went out on an 8-mile ride in the Cibola National Forest. And oh my God, Lisa, the terrain out here is so stunning and just so different than anything I've ever ridden before. You know, I grew up riding in Florida and then, you know, trail rides all over the world, really. But I mean, we're going up and down ravines and climbing boulders, and there's like sheer cliff walls to my right. And it's just like, this is a casual Friday ride.
But how fun and how great to be on a Mustang who's obviously very sure-footed.
Yes.
And, you know.
That's exactly it. That. Yeah. I just throw my reins and I'm like, you go, girl. I'm not going to get in your way. I trust you.
Wow, how great. Did you take any pictures?
I did. And I might share some in the auditor room. It's always, you guys, I mean, I'm talking to my people here. You get it. The life is just better once you've been on a horse. And I sent the pictures to Glenn that day and he said, "Were you smiling the whole time?" I said, "You know I was."
Oh, wow. There's nothing better, you know, just to relieve the stress and just get out. And when the scenery is so beautiful, which is not that Florida's not, but it's flat.
It's just flat. Yeah. And there's, another pine tree. Super cool. Like, yeah. Oh, wait, a cypress. Like, you know, it just gets a little redundant. And out here, it's unlike anything I've ever ridden. And, you know, there were some times where I'd be a little nervous, but, you know, you just grab mane and say a prayer.
But I think it's fun, though, to do a trail ride that's a little challenging.
Me too. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. It was just awesome. And so, yeah, shout out to my girlfriend Ashley and her Mustang Freya, and can't wait to get back on the trail with them again soon.
Before we get to our guest, a word from our title sponsor, Stateline Tack. Tired of tack that breaks the bank? Trot on over to statelinetack.com and discover Stable Steels. Amazing deals on top brands you and your horse will love. But hurry, because these steels won't last forever. Find your next stable essential for less. Shop Stable Steels at statelinetack.com. And as always, the HRN coupon code, it can get you 30% off any $129 or greater order. Enter coupon code HRN at checkout. And please note that some products are not eligible for the additional discount due to the manufacturer's restrictions. These are noted in your shopping cart. So it's statelinetack.com. Well, we have today the executive director of Save a Forgotten Equine Safe, Bonnie Hammond. Bonnie, welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Thank you, Lisa. It's a privilege to be here.
Well, I know you're here regularly, so the listeners know all about you and all about Safe and all of that. Ashley and I have been gushing about Frida, the horse of the month. So can you tell us a little bit about her? Let's just jump right in.
Let's just jump right in. Well, have you seen her new arrival?
Yes, the baby. So cute. It's so cute.
Yes. Her name is Paloma.
Yeah.
And Paloma was born this past Friday morning.
Oh, my goodness.
12:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And, the birth was very easy, very uneventful. But Paloma got to her feet with, you know, she was trying to stand up almost as soon as she was on the floor. But she got to her feet quite easily, but it took her quite a long time to figure out how to latch on and nurse.
Oh, that's a little scary.
It was very scary.
Yeah.
You know, we like to see that within 2 hours of the foal being born, that they're up and they're having their first meal and getting colostrum, you know, which is very important. That's something that comes from their mother's milk. And it's very, very important for their development.
Sure.
It actually, Paloma was not, she finally figured it out with a lot of help, but she finally figured it out about 10:45 the next morning.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Yeah, it was a pretty scary long interval. Happy to say that now she is she's nursing like a pro. and her mother, Frida, we don't, because she's a rescued horse, we don't have any background on her. We don't know if this is her first foal. It's probably good. Chances are good that it's her first foal because she's so young.
She was born in 2021. Let's back up just a little bit and let's learn a little bit more about Frida and how she came to be at your place and what you do know about her.
Okay, yeah. This particular seizure was very unusual in that the authorities in the county initially went into the property because it was discovered that they were raising roosters for cockfighting.
Oh, wow.
And on the property, there were more than 500 roosters, living in little huts, and it was pretty brutal. But when they went in, they also discovered that there were about 15 horses on the property, and a number of goats and some dogs and so forth. So all the animals were seized, and between my own rescue, Safe, and a couple other rescues, one called Hooved Animal Rescue of Thurston County, and then a goat rescue called New Moon Farm Sanctuary, and then a third rescue called Sound Equine Options down in the Portland, Oregon area. The hooved animals basically were taken in by the four of us. Mm. And Safe ended up taking... initially taking eight of the horses. These horses predominantly were, are, I should say, Andalusians. And the really tragic part, I mean, we're going to focus on the positive part, which is that these animals are safe and they've got great futures ahead of them. But sadly, the purpose of them being on the farm was for was to be trained as dancing horses.
Oh, so I know what that is, but I'm thinking maybe some of the listeners don't. So if we could maybe go into that just a little bit.
I don't know a great deal about it except how horses are trained to do it. But a dancing horse will perform the move in dressage is called a pee-off. It's basically mm-hmm. a standing trot where the legs are going up, 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 and the mm-hmm. horse isn't really moving forward. And my understanding is that the way they're taught to do this, it's very brutal. They're basically tied so they can't move forward or back. And then you've got one person behind them with a whip urging them forward. And then you've got two people in front of them with poles hitting their front legs to keep them from going forward. Mm. So basically the horse has one choice and that is to go up.
Yeah.
And when you think about that, Lisa, it's
heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking because basically what they're telling the horse is, They're telling the horse to go, and then they're preventing them from going.
Yeah. Now there are other ways to teach a horse how to do a pee-off,
absolutely.
Obviously. But I have seen, not I've seen videos of what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't want to confuse this with dressage training. Dressage training is nothing like this. It's not inhumane. But in this case, these horses are forced into doing this movement. So in among the horses that we initially took in when we were holding horses for the county, there were two stallions. They were older and not terribly old, like in their teens. Mm-hmm. And one of them was from the start, it was clear that he was not savable because he had physical issues, most likely caused by his career. Mm. But he was, once we had ownership of the horses, we were able to let him go and humanely euthanize him and get him out of his pain. The other stallion, he was beautiful, gigantic, black Andalusian, just dreamy looking horse. But what was so unusual about him was, you know how when horses get upset, usually a horse that's upset, you know, they'll run around in circles and they'll look at things and they'll run. When this gentleman got upset, he would start to pee off. And it was just devastating to see the mental damage that had been done to this horse, in addition to the in addition to the physical damage. And he had dropped pasterns, and behavior wise, he was just completely unpredictable. Mm. He would be calm 1 minute and then he would try to attack. And we had a situation where he went after one of our employees and persistently tried to bite her and attack her. And we realized that he just was too dangerous. And it would, if we were ever able to break through the training and the abuse that he had suffered, it would take years, and it would be awful for him, and it would be very dangerous for us. So sadly, we had to let him go as well.
You know, that's the real tragic part of all of this. And I think this is true of a lot of rescues, you know, just the abuse, you know, and the horses then do become sometimes dangerous, and you just can't have that. And it's just, you know, you think what could be and what this horse could have been. And you mentioned how gorgeous he was and everything. And you just think, wow, he could have had a completely different life.
I know. And it's so heartbreaking because that's all we want for them. I sometimes think of our job as rescuers as we come in and into situations where horses have just been failed by their previous owners, just failed humans. And we're here to make it up to them. We're here to show them that it doesn't have to be that way, and that show them that they're valuable as they are, who they are. And when you don't get a chance to, I mean, we had them for a couple weeks, but you know, in the end, yeah, we weren't able to do that for him. And all we could do was just give him peace.
Yes. Yes. Now, do you think one of these two stallions is Paloma's daddy?
Well, you know what's funny? I would say it's likely, because they were all on the farm together, and clearly there was some kind of a breeding program going on. But what's funny is that Paloma came out of the womb looking suspiciously like a Frisian.
Ooh.
she's got wavy black hair, she's got feathers, you know, it's hard to tell when they're this little, and we will do DNA testing.
I was going to ask about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We have hair samples from the stallions, because we wanted to try to identify them. And then we will test to see if they're related to Paloma or if there's something else, in there. I'm not a expert by any means on horse breeds and horse breeding, but we've suspected that Frida and her best friend Ariana are Warlanders, which I believe are a cross between an Andalusian and a Frisian. So if that's the case and the baby came out Frisian, we know that there is at least some Frisian in there.
Right, right, right. Maybe she just picked up a little more of that.
Yeah, exactly. But it'll be interesting to find out.
So what's the plan for Frida and Paloma? What's in their future?
Well, Paloma's not the only foal that came out of this seizure. There was another mare that has since been named Wednesday, and she had a foal while the horses were still being held for animal control. So Wednesday and her foal, I think we called him Venturo, are at a farm up north where they're basically out on pasture every day and running around together, allowing him to grow up, for the next 6 months or thereabouts. And then I believe that Hooved Animal Rescue also had a pregnant mare, and the plan would be that after that foal is weaned, that he would come to safe. So what I'm saying is that we're basically going to end up with a little gang of foals that are about the same age, and they'll be allowed to grow up together. We need to give them probably 1.5 to 2 years before we start any like serious groundwork. Of course, they'll be handled and they'll be taught to wear a halter and to, lead politely, and all that kind of good stuff. Get them a good foundation while they're blank slates. But they've got a lot of growing up to do. And even if we pull them out, like say when they're 2, and start them in some groundwork training, they'll still be turned back out for long periods of time to continue to grow and continue to mature, so that when they're between 3 and 4, we can start them under saddle. So
that's great. So can we watch this on your website? Are you going to be showing updates and things like that?
Yeah, we try really hard to share all these milestones and experiences with the people that support us. I always felt that if people are giving us their money in terms of donations, then they deserve to see where their money's going and what we're doing with it. So I think that we'll have some really good material to kind of show the process of growing up a foal and then and then starting them in training and so forth. And I think it's important because, I mean, I know you're aware of this. If it wasn't for overbreeding, you and I probably wouldn't be talking right now.
Right. That's so true.
Yeah, that's the reason rescues exist, is because, unlike with dogs, for instance. I think the general idea is that you spay and neuter your pets, unless you have a champion that's earning points and it has some qualities that are worth passing on to offspring. People are a lot more lax when it comes to horses. And so,
they absolutely are. They absolutely are. Yeah. As Jamie says, spay, neuter, geld,
mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
So Bonnie, where can listeners find you?
Well, we have our website at www.safehorses.org. That's safe, HORES. Did I spell that right?
HORSES. Horses. Okay. Safe Horses.
I mean, I'm on the West Coast. It's very early here.
That's okay.
We can also be found on Facebook, on YouTube. We post a lot on YouTube. There's a lot of information out there about what we're doing. So
Oh, that is just so awesome, everything that you're doing. And thank you so much for the update on Frida and Paloma. And I'm going to be tuning in to all of those sites to keep up. I feel invested now.
Just wait.
So thank you, Bonnie. Thank you so much. I appreciate you getting up so early and talking with all of us.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you, Lisa. And thank you to Horses in the Morning.
This Horse Health Report is brought to you by Daily Dose Equine, non-GMO core nutrition for horses and ponies of all ages. Today, we're revisiting an interview from 2022 where Dr. Lauren Proctor Brown of Resolute Vet explained swaybacks and if they are or are not related to kissing spine. Let's take a listen.
We got to talk to Dr. Proctor Brown, and she's the vet who we've had on the ton that's also a polo player. She's totally cool. So let's get her on the line and find out about swaybacks. I would like to welcome to the show Dr. Lauren Proctor Brown from Resolute Vet. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Do people call you Dr. Proctor, Dr. Brown, Dr. Proctor Brown? How's that work? Dr. PD, PB? I don't know. What's the word? What do you go by?
I get called by my initials a lot. Dr. LPB happens a lot.
Okay. Now, where in the world are you right now, LPB?
I'm in Ocala, Florida.
Oh, so I was going to say, poor thing is on a vet call. You're probably freezing to death. You're in Ocala, whatever. We don't feel sorry for you.
Well, I mean, it is 65 here, which is unseasonably, I mean, it's not unseasonably cold, but it's just colder, a colder 65 in Florida than when it's 65 in Wisconsin. We're all weak down here.
I'm sorry. I know.
I'm sorry.
Just,
65 just, somebody, is not cold.
It's pitiful.
She's like, oh my God.
It's absolutely
okay.
Pitiful.
So in a little bit, we're going to talk about equestrian first world problems, and I would like to log yours as a first. Like, oh my God, it's so cold.
Oh, yeah,
it's like 65.
Our horses are so fresh, and they're being so annoying because it's 65 degrees. No, it's bad.
That's awesome. Well, hey, what we're going to talk to you about is swayback, and people listening know I've had some experience with kissing spine, and so I had a what somebody called a low backed horse, which pretty much is a swaybacked horse. And so I want to just talk to you about that. Why does that happen? What does that look like? What is it?
Well, the majority of that is a genetic structural malformation in the horse. So through swayback, the horse can still be rideable, but it's the way their spine has formed. So what we think of as their top line that we see is actually, you know, the dorsal aspect of their spinous process. The withers that you can grasp that. That's the spinous process of their thoracic vertebrae, right? Mm-hmm. What we don't appreciate is that their thoracic vertebrae actually run in a pretty straight line, but obviously the line from their withers down to their back and through onto their lumbars, right? We see a big curve there in a horse. But that all that we're seeing has to do with how tall, you know, those spinous processes are. Some horses, they're very, you know, you get really high shark fin withered horses. That's just genetically how their vertebrae formed, right? So some swayback horses, it has to do with, you know, how did their actual vertebrae form, and that, you know, their withers are high and then the, you know, the spinous processes are lower. Mm-hmm. Then sometimes it's a genetic, it's a malformation in the way their spine is put together. So the spinal column itself will actually be curved. But most of the time in a horse, that curve does not affect the spinal cord inside of the column, so the horses won't have any neurologic deficits, versus if you or I had, what's it called in people when your back is crooked? Scoliosis.
Scoliosis,
that
yeah.
That can actually touch your spinal cord itself and could cause neurologic problems. That could be a major problem. That's why we try to correct scoliosis. So it's a little bit similar to that where, you know, the spinal column is not in a straight line, mm-hmm. and that's causing the swayback. Because of the way horses are, you know, put together, the way their skeleton is put together, they have a bigger thorax than you or I do. And it's a pretty rigid thorax, right? So their ribs, along with their thoracic spinous, you know, their thoracic vertebrae, create a pretty rigid area of the horse. That's where we ride, right? That's how they move around. They move around that.
Right.
So because it's so rigid that actually still protects the spinal cord inside, where, yes, there might be a curve in the spinal column because of the sway back, that they don't actually have any neurologic deficits from that. And some of those horses are perfectly, you know, they're comfortable. This is how they are. This is just their shape, with appropriate padding and appropriate saddles and education. Those horses are rideable. Obviously, there are extreme cases where the whole thorax is just not the appropriate shape to bear weight or put a saddle on. It would just be impossible because of the degree of what we see as sway back. So that kind of answer, just like the, you know, this is sometimes this is just how they're made, right?
Right.
This is how their body came out into the world. That's how they grow.
Is it like something to do with like cartilage? Is the cartilage like too loose and that's how they get that sway back? Or is it just kind of like this is how they are? Because I know some of them get worse as they get older. And I remember an episode of Mr. Ed, a Nick at Night grown up. And there was like a crazy sway back to us.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one always sticks in my head. Yeah. Like that was sway back. I don't even know how that thing functioned, but I mean, whatever.
Right.
So can it be reversed with like any sort of joint supplements, like improving the cartilage, working out, doing anything long and low, things like that?
Right. So if you have a young horse that's developing sway back, you know, they'll come out normal when they're a year old, and then they're developing it in their young, very young years, even before they're being ridden. That is a genetic structural abnormality about how they are in the world. There's nothing that you did or anyone did to them to have created that. If you have an older horse who's getting what we would say sway back slowly over time, yes, that's something that we could certainly improve, something that we might be able to help them with, strengthening their core, appropriate core exercises to kind of help them stabilize their own back. Again, not necessarily anything that was wrong, but sometimes when we have horses that, you know, go through it, malnutrition, you know, a period of their life that was more stressful for any number of reasons, right? That can predispose them to, you know, their ligaments stretching out, them not being in the right condition, them not using themselves appropriately. And then, yes, their back kind of becoming more sway back over time.
So kissing spine is something that, you know, that's when the spinous processes, they smooch and we don't like it. So is that an opposite thing, or is that the kind of the same thing, or what?
I think we don't, as like a population, have enough information yet to really put those two together. When we're diagnosing kissing spine in athletic horses, usually, right? They're not always sway backed at all, right? It's still, yes, there's something going on with their vertebrae, and the vertebrae are touching. So just like we talked about the dorsal spinous processes before, those are touching and they're rubbing each other. Unfortunately, what's very frustrating is we don't have imaging modalities that are, we can't MRI a horse's thorax or lumbars, right? We cannot put that in any MRI magnet. That it's almost impossible in an adult-sized horse, right? You could do a foal, right, because they'll fit, but we can't put a full-sized horse in an MRI. That's what we would really need to do to give you a full and complete answer of why are these two dorsal spinuses touching? Because they shouldn't be, right? And yes, we can see the part on the top, right? We can see that, and we can see where they're rubbing. But we can't see, well, did the disc protrude? And that's why these two vertebrae are touching. Is there damage lower down? Is there more going on with these vertebrae that we just don't see, right? Because, we cannot image that. We don't have that ability yet.
More questions than answers at this point.
So I think we couldn't draw like a straight line between sway back and kissing spine directly, right? I think that they could, in some horses, you might see that they go together. And in another horse, you wouldn't notice that at all. Wouldn't correlate at all. So probably that, yes, they can happen at the same time, but no, they do not necessarily cause each other. You know, those young horses we talked about that genetically, this is just how they formed. Their body is, this is how they are. This is the shape they are. That's how the shape they'll be forever. And they're not necessarily going to have kissing spines because of it.
Right.
But certainly some older horses, definitely. But then, you know, some horses that are not sway backed at all have what you'd think of as a great top line. will have kissing spine. So what is going on there is a deeper question that, at least my knowledge of the literature at this moment, we do not have a clear answer to that question.
Okay. Well, I'll call you next week and I want a clear answer. well, this has been, I love how hard you left
at
that.
Finding an MRI for you, a really, really massive MRI, and somebody who's willing to let me put their lovely fancy horse in this giant magnet.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. Yeah. We probably need to find like a I don't even know. Not even a bariatric center. Horses are quite large. Just saying. Yeah. And MRIs are very expensive. They don't like to make them in that size. The physics are difficult.
Give you a week and then I'm calling you back.
Have you ever had a back MRI? Do you know how close you are to the edge of the tube? It's not very big.
No, I don't know how you would MRI a whole horse. It's just crazy to me. I mean, I'm already like, my arms are pinned down and it's just nuts.
Yeah,
well,
right. You can get their head in and stuff and you can do a full, which is pretty cool, but it's, we do CT scans a lot of horses' heads. That's a little easier. And there's some places where you can do that standing, which is lovely, but imaging the lumbars of a horse would be very difficult. So one day when the science catches up, we'll have an answer.
I can't wait. Well, Dr. Proctor Brown, before we let you go, how are the polo ponies? Are polos going good in season?
The polo ponies are great. We start season back up December 4th. So they are all getting fit again, acting foolish. They're fat and happy and ready to go.
Your website is resolutevet.com. Is there a place that people can go check out the polos? Are you going to do some polo at the World Equestrian Center? How's that?
We're not at WEC yet. We do have the polo ball at WEC in February, which is a gala kind of event for our Wounded Warriors fundraiser. Otherwise, we're at the Florida Horse Park, and they can find everything about polo at ocalapolo.com.
Ocalapolo.com. Dr. Lauren Proctor Brown from Resolute Vet, thank you so much for coming on, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Hanging out here with the mad scientist who developed daily dose equine horse feed formulas, Janet Geyer. And you might wonder, whenever I get my horse feed delivered to my door in Maryland or Texas or California or Missouri, am I getting the same horse feed? And the answer is?
The answer is that it is always the same formula, always the same horse feed. We don't change ingredients. We are a fixed formula feed mill.
Here's a barn hack you'll wish you knew sooner. You can kill flies before they even hatch. Fly predators are beneficial bugs that prey on fly pupae, killing flies before you ever see them. No more buzzing, biting, or endless stomping and swatting. They don't bother people or animals, but they do keep your barn, pasture, or paddock way more comfortable. Start early and enjoy fewer flies all season. Get yours now at spalding-labs.com.
So Lisa, I have to tell you, I always struggle with the daily winnies because I just don't feel like my life is that cool. Like,
but of course it is.
Jamie and Glenn always have all these fun stories and things going on. And like, I'm at home with a 10-month-old. Things are just not that exciting over here. Like, a highlight of my day yesterday, I showered, for example.
Yay!
I was very close for my daily Winnie today, especially, you know, Mother's Day was just this past Sunday. I almost gave myself a daily Winnie because I've got Levi sleeping through the night, Lisa.
Woohoo! That's awesome. So at 10 months?
10 months.
10 months with no sleep.
I did not realize how crappy I've been feeling for the past 10 months. I mean,
that's how it is.
Oh my God, to get 9 hours straight of sleep, I feel like I'm 20 years old. And we all know I am not 20 years old.
But, you know, you don't realize you're right in the middle of it and you're just surviving from moment to moment, you know, hoping you can get another 5 minutes in.
Seriously. And, you know, I've been really lucky. Zach, my husband, and I took turns throughout the night. So we would get, you know, a good 4 or 5 hour chunk apiece. So that, you know, it's always good to have a teammate, and that has been a lifesaver. So it's not like I've been running on zero, but oh my gosh, I'm so much happier. I feel more alert. I can spell things. Like, I don't know how Glenn hasn't fired me, honestly.
You don't ever know until you're in it. And I've had so many friends, you know, and even some employees here at Colby's Army who have had children, like their first children, and they say, oh yeah, well, I'll see you in like 2 months. I'm like, no, I won't see you forever.
Seriously, I mean, and the time just goes so darn fast. Like, I can't believe he just turned, he's almost a year old. Like,
yeah,
I'm so,
yeah,
as
and
if
then
I just
then
don't
he's
get
gonna
it.
Start walking. He's
oh
gonna
no,
start
oh, walking. We're practically there, girlfriend.
Yeah, and that's a whole nother nightmare.
I've you know, I approach this whole child rearing thing as a horse girl. So I'm like, okay, I need to make a pasture or a pen. So I've installed gates to make one room in the house his pasture.
It's safe.
And it's safe. And I took out all the dangerous things so he can go out there and roam when I need a break. It's just crazy.
Why don't they call it the pasture? That's a great idea.
Right? It doesn't that sound so much like holistic instead of like, oh, that's sometimes my husband calls it baby jail. And I'm like, maybe we shouldn't put a negative connotation on it.
Yeah, it's a pasture.
It's a pasture. Who doesn't want to go hang out in a pasture? I mean, we all do, obviously.
Exactly. So I have a friend, you know, who... she had her first baby when she was in her late 30s, and then unexpectedly, when her little son was 4 months old, she got pregnant again.
Oh, my gosh.
And, yeah, 10. So they're 10, what, I don't know, 12, 13 months apart.
Oh, my
and,
gosh.
You know, and I can just, you know, she comes in and, you know, she's got vomit on her chest. Her hair isn't combed in a week. And you know, I mean, I'm just envisioning you, Ashley. You know, it's like... You know, it's just tough. Go with it.
That's it. You're just doing the best you can. There's a lot of dry shampoo in my life.
Yes. Dry shampoo, deodorant.
You know.
And as soon as you get in something like you sit down on the toilet or something, then some disaster happens.
Well, just even this morning, you know, we were sitting down to record the show and my nanny's running late. Levi's sleeping in. The guest is on Zoom, you guys. It's just, it teaches you a flexibility that you never knew you had.
Yeah, multitasking. Yep. Go with the flow and multitask. You know? And then, but you know, it all works out in the end. It really does. It all works out.
It does. And you know, at least we're just doing this once and that's our choice. Bless everyone and all their children. But I'm grateful, you know, that we have... The lights at the end of the tunnel. I've got sleepy nights ahead of me. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
You know, I have a family who lives near me, and they're just so lovely and so great. And all the kids are they're homeschooled. They're just polite and helpful and lovely. 11 of them.
11.
11 of them. And I don't know how. This mom and dad did it. I mean, and yes, the older kids are helping with the younger kids. I, you know, I see that, but holy cow. I you know, and
oh,
I asked her, you know,
my God.
I was being nosy, had my little reporter brain on, you know, and
I just see you whipping out the hat and like a monocle.
Yeah. My little pad. Yeah. And, you know, and we just got talking. It was an organic thing, you know, and, you know, why 11? And she said, my husband's just so hot. I can't help myself.
Well, get it, girl. I mean, I'm over here just doing math. I'm like, that's 99 months. She was pregnant, Lisa.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Like,
Wow. And her husband is this, short, kind of dumpy man.
Oh, he's not hot.
Oh no.
Oh, bless
well, not
her.
Not to me, but she is so
with her
in love
with him. Goggles. Oh,
yeah, she's so in love with him. And I will say, the kids are just great. You know, so I, you know, some people just have that. They can do it.
God
know?
Bless them. God bless them. Wow, 11.
Yeah. And probably some of the listeners out there have
I'm sure.
tons of kids.
I'm
know?
Sure.
And are doing great. But I did one. I, yep. Was, you know, I'm like,
yep. There's some that can do a lot, and there's some that can only do one, and that's fine.
Yeah. It's just what it is, you know?
Oh, my gosh. Well, Lisa, I can't thank you enough. It's always such a joy to hang out and chat with you. And so, you know, Glenn, Jamie, if you listen, anytime you want to take off, Lisa and I are happy to hang out.
We're here. We're here to the B-plus team.
The B-plus team. Everybody go out and have a great rest of your Wednesday.